Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Edit Your Life podcast. I'm Christine Koh.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
We share practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection.
And we help you take action with doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Good morning.
Good morning, Asha. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm feeling sort of like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
You're fired up for today's conversation. I can feel it.
Actually, I really am. I'm excited about this conversation. You know, it's sort of funny. It occurs to me that our accomplished instead of overwhelmed intro could not be more relevant. Mm-hmm. Because today we're going to be talking about climate change and things that we can do. And, you know, for so many of us, I know for me, you know, talk of our climate emergency is this very scary, massive topic. And it's really hard to bring it down to the level of our own lives, let alone just sort of sit with it and think about it. But, you know, if you listen to our last episode where we talked about our 2020 plans, a couple themes emerged that I thought were really interesting. And for Christine, it's the word embrace. And for me, it's about facing fears to help me realize a vision. And it really, to me, feels like we can take those words and apply them here. So today we're going to be personalizing climate change by sharing some really easy habits that'll help us use less water, energy, and resources, and just sort of bring it into our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this topic has been on my mind a lot, too. You know, the news is just, it's mm-hmm. a lot, you know, and it's weighing on me for sure. But, you know, the interesting way I'm seeing it manifest is on teenagers, you know, my teenager, other teenagers, like they are totally aware of what's happening. And I've heard like sort of, you know, cynical, not joking threads of, well, none of us are going to be here in anyway in X number of years. And it's just kind of depressing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm so glad you brought up how teens and young adults are talking about and sort of interacting with each other about this issue of climate crisis, because it's really omnipresent in their lives. I mean, they really do talk about it in very stark and concrete terms. And what that says to me is that it's even more important for us to include discussion of climate crisis in our family conversations and, you know, address it in our habits. I think mm-hmm. it's just really important to make it a part of our day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of funny as we talk about this, it occurs to me that my family has always been sort of focused on conservation, like always. Like I grew up this way. I grew up in Northern California. And, you know, in the 70s, there was a big fuel crisis, like the gas crisis. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but you know, it was all about saving gas and not driving so much. And then, you know, the other thing about California is there are regular droughts. And mm-hmm. so we would save water all the time. And so like fuel economy, saving water, these were just parts of our regular life. I think it's worth saying, too, that my dad's from India. And part of his experience, you know, in India, you reuse stuff. That's just part of everyday frugality because, you know, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that because it brings me back to a couple of things from my childhood. And, you know, one is my parents owned a convenience store
And my dad was, I mean, he was really, really thrifty. And so much so that, you know, we were recycling based on that thriftiness. And I remember I have this like really vivid, he had very like slow and deliberate penmanship. And when we needed to do inventory, whether it was like inventory on milk or whatever else, he would, the store sold cigarettes, these cases of cigarettes, and he'd break down the packaging so it would be like open up all the seams. So these cigarette boxes would be a flat sheet. And then he'd draw a grid and make his inventory chart on the backs of all of these. So there were always these stacks of cigarette boxes around that he used as inventory sheets. And then, you know, I remember in, I think it was high school maybe, that curbside recycling started. And so I, because of my dad, I think I was super fascinated by the whole process. And it felt a little gamey to me, like, okay, let's see how much we can recycle. And of course, I also wanted to do whatever I could to make sure we didn't get the shame sticker on recycling day. Did you have
What's the shame sticker?
It would be like if you put something not that didn't fit the parameters of the recycling bucket in there, you would get this giant sticker saying like incorrect recycling or something like that. So
fail.
I was so obsessed with recycling. I was the person in my household who was super annoying about it.
That's so funny. You were recycling before recycling was cool, Christine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, can I just tell you this is interesting. I have a funny dad. Well, this one wasn't actually dad, but I have another funny story about reuse, which has to do with my dad being from India, because this happened with a conversation with one of my Indian family, and they were saying, you know, when you open up, if you go to an Indian person's house many times and you open up, you know, a kitchen pantry, you're going to see lots and lots of like random jars and, you know, yogurt containers and stuff full of various spices and spice mixtures and masalas and all that kind of stuff. You know, people often make their own homemade spice mixtures. Anyway, so I love looking at people's kitchens. I love looking at people's cabinets. You know, this is a common thing. And so I remember talking to one of my family member, and she says to me, you know, I don't really understand Americans. I said, yeah, why is that? She said, well, you know, yogurt, and in India you call them curds. Curds come in perfectly good containers, and so we use those containers. But Americans throw away the curd containers, but then they go to the store and they buy empty containers. Why would they do that? And I said, well, you know, and it just sort of dot, dot, dot. Like, I think my voice trailed off and I thought to myself, yeah, you know, it's true. Like, why throw away a good container and go to the store and buy an empty container, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So, you know, it's sort of interesting. Actually, it's quite amazing to think about the span of change in our own lives, Christine, like our own lifetimes. This conversation about saving resources has obviously gotten much bigger. I mean, you know, it used to be about recycling, but today the framing is really global. And, you know, it's about the change in our climate. And what's really heartening to me is that this conversation in many ways is being led by young people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about our teens, but, you know, young people are at the forefront of this movement to really get people to sort of wake up and change what they're doing to address this. And so I am very proud to support these young people and get behind that leadership. So I feel like that starts with simply talking about the climate crisis, which is why we're having this podcast, so we could just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then just bring awareness to our own habits. And then if we can shift them from I have to do this change to this perspective of collective responsibility, somehow it feels so much more empowering. At least it does to me.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel really fine about taking these baby steps in the direction of change. And I feel like, you know, we can all do it together, and that's going to make a big difference. And it's not about guilt, and it's not about perfection. It's just about, you know, sort of making these changes together.
Yes, yes. And we have a lot of great tips. I'm like excited to, you know, learn more about yours and, you know, see what just kind of getting lockstep about what we're doing. And we will do all of that after a quick break.
Especially in this digital age, since we're well beyond handwritten journals and letters to convey history, the preservation of stories is so important, especially from the moms and mom figures in our lives. And if you've been looking for a way to collect those stories but aren't sure how to start, I have a recommendation for you. StoryWorth makes it easy. Every week, they email a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? And what aspects of having children didn't turn out the way you expected? Your loved one responds to that email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails as they are submitted, and after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. A friend recently shared how moving it was that her mom gifted copies of her StoryWorth album to immediate family members, a genius idea for expanding the preservation and sharing of those stories to people in different households and generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. Okay, friends, we are back and we are going to talk about super easy eco-friendly habits. And I'm going to start out, Asha, with like, I read this one somewhere. I wish I could say the source. And it is literally one of the easiest things you can possibly do to save energy. And it is to put a lid on your pot when you're boiling water. Isn't that, right. It's so ridiculous, but for a long time we didn't do that. And then I read that thing and I was like, wow, that's really easy. So I'm just putting it out there.
But
it,
all right.
It's like the easiest thing you could possibly do, but it actually stacks up to make a lot of difference, a lot of change, because really, all of us parents, how many pots of pasta will we make in a lifetime? A lot.
So true. That's so true. And that's funny because I often don't do that. So I'm really glad you brought that up just to like bring some clear awareness to it.
Yeah. So easy.
All right. My first tip is also very easy, and that is to never dump clean water in the sink, like down the drain. So I'm talking about half full water bottles that are sitting around, cups of water at the dinner table, you know, water from, say, washing produce, even like the water from boiling your vegetables and your pasta. That's basically clean water. And so what I do is I either, if it's like a water bottle or a cup, I pour it into my plants or I pour it into the garden. If it's a big pot of water or something like that, I let it cool and I just try to see where else I can use it. And so I just think it's important to note that, you know, like that water has been cleaned and purified and everything, and it's really valuable. And so chances are there is something around. Maybe you're, you know, maybe save it for the pet to drink, you know, maybe not the pasta water, but the clean water from the bottles, you know, like just think about where else it can go before it goes down the drain. And I got to just say, this reminds me of one other childhood like conservation tip. When I was a kid, we kept a clean, empty bucket in the shower to catch all the water that flowed out of the shower when we were letting it heat up.
I was literally just going to bring that up. We do that. There's a bucket in my shower. It's been there for years. And and we use it to like flush the toilet.
Yeah, use it to flush the toilet. We can all still do that. Water, you know, water is a scarce resource, especially in certain parts of the country, certainly in certain parts of the world. I mean, it's funny. I live in the Pacific Northwest where it rains all the time. So there's lots of water everywhere. It's hard to remember that it's still a really important resource to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's really funny because as you were talking, I was like, oh, I got to bring up the bucket in the shower. That's like crazy. that is a really, really good one.
My next tip, oh my gosh, I am seriously like, you know, you remember my big fat Greek wedding? The dad was always like spraying Windex on everything. I am like that, except with baking soda, lemon juice, and vinegar. So my tip is to simplify your cleaning supplies. I actually just posted recently a blog post detailing 6 everyday household items that I use to clean everything in my house, like everything from surfaces to removing dreaded yellow armpit stains from white shirts.
And I hate that.
Right? I used to just throw out white shirts. And now I'm like, wait, I figured out a way to like clean them with just, you know, a handful of household supplies. So I will link that up in the notes. But seriously, you don't need any toxic cleaning chemicals at all. Like, it's just these basic house, you know, cleaning supplies that are just everyday items in your pantry. So, so useful. I will link that up. It has how-tos for like 8 different scenarios.
Yeah, I'm going to go check out that post. We use an eco-friendly sort of all-purpose cleaner, which you dilute. And so one bottle lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll check out your post.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, yeah. My dad, since we keep talking about my dad and his thriftiness, baking soda figures into this very prominently because my dad thinks baking soda is the cure for everything.
It is. Like, he and I are the same. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad's like, you know, you can brush your teeth with baking soda.
Sure
I'm like,
can.
Dad, it doesn't taste too good. He's like, well, but it's perfectly fine. I'm like, okay. Anyway, all right. So my next tip is to reduce or replace disposable tools with reusable tools. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about very basic stuff like instead of using paper towels, use dishcloths. Or instead of using a sponge in your sink, use a washable scrub brush. I love the fact that I don't buy sponges anymore. And I just have this scrub brush, which I periodically stick in my dishwasher. Swap out the paper napkins for cloth napkins. You can even, I'm not saying stop buying, you know, tissues or whatever, but you can carry around a cotton handkerchief with you and reduce the amount of tissue you use. And it feels, cotton handkerchiefs are really nice.
He's used cotton handkerchiefs for like 20 years, like as long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like go to the men's department in some department store and get some cotton handkerchiefs because it's funny. I used to like make fun of my grandfather because he'd pull one out of his pocket. And when I was a kid, I was like, oh, you know, but the fact is it feels so nice on your nose and you just throw it in the wash. It is really actually quite, it's super versatile to have something like that in your purse or in your pocket or something. And again, I just want to remind everybody that we don't have to make all of these changes. Even one of these changes makes a difference. You can just start with one and try it, you know. But just a reminder that you can just make these simple swaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Little changes. OK, so the next thing I want to bring up, I'm also obsessed with, and it's composting. And I want to bring it up because I think that for a lot of people, it seems like, that's like very hippie-ish and very complicated. And it's actually really not that complicated. So I've actually written quite a bit about composting on my website. So I'll share some links on that. But I also, this is like totally, you know, they're not paying me to say this, but I actually did a bunch of work with, I don't know if you know Full Circle. They do like eco-friendly home good products and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of work with them in this past year and their products are awesome. But they've got like everything from like if you just, you know, if you want something in your kitchen, like a kitchen counter kind of official composter or even just like compostable bags that you can load up. They're a little bigger and then, you know, toss outside into your composter. And if you don't, I should say, if you don't have room for an outside composting unit in your backyard, if you don't have a backyard, like, you know, a lot of people don't. There are now, I just saw that I think it's called Black Earth Compost. There are compost pickup services that are starting to sprout up. So, you know, just do a little searching in your neighborhood. It might be enough that you can just, you know, get one of those little pickup bins and then fill that up and you don't need to house anything in your home. So it's actually, there are a lot of options and it's really easy.
Oh, that's really interesting. That makes me, I'm quite grateful because here in Portland, we've switched over to, you know, like municipal composting service. And so one day, basically, we got mail that said, hey, we're not picking up your trash every week anymore. But here's a compost bin. So now they pick up trash every 2 weeks and you have to use, you know, put all your compostable stuff in this big green bin. And yeah, I know.
Serious like, even, envy right now. That's amazing.
it's really amazing. And I'm, you know, like all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't think that you can compost can go in that bin. And then, you know, like every, for me, every winter or fall or whatever, I order garden compost from this, you know, municipal recycling compost people. And they like bring me compost and I put it in my yard. So I don't even have to do the work.
That is amazing. Wow.
I mean, I have to pay for it, but yeah.
But that's, mm-hmm. that's amazing. Love it.
Yeah, it is amazing. All right. Compost. Yay. Unsurprisingly, my dad has been composting for years. I really should post a picture of my dad on the Instagram, you know, like
you
on the Edit Your Life Instagram.
These
are our parents, like the, you know, like old school conservation people. Okay. All right. So my next tip is to explore walking or riding a bike for short distances. So, you know, all those little short errands that you have, you know, in your life, presumably if you walk, you know, some of us live in places where certain things are walkable and bike rideable. Some of us don't, but some of us do. And it's just a matter of, you know, sort of just shifting your mind a little bit and saying, do I really have to drive there? You know, will mm-hmm. it really save me that much time? Sort of interesting. And, you know, I know in Portland is a big bicycling city. And there is actually something that I came across recently. Portland has a series of bike maps, specifically like paper maps specific to the bike routes in town. And oftentimes you really can, if you figure in transportation plus parking, you can get somewhere faster than you would if you drove. And I think the other thing to note is that Google Maps has bike directions and walk directions mm-hmm. and car and also public transportation. So, you know, like it's just worth investigating, maybe just for fun, like have a look at Google Maps and, you know, map out a few places that you go a lot and just see what the difference is in time mm-hmm. and then consider. You know, it'll give you some fresh air and some exercise and it will save a ton of resources.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I actually recently, maybe a few weeks ago, posted something on Instagram about walking where like, you know, I was in a situation where it was like for a client, I needed to come up with a bunch of brilliant thoughts. Like that was the task. And so I decided, you know, I have this PO box that is, it's less than a mile from my house, but oftentimes I'm just tempted to just drive there because I just need to get there quick and get back and who knows what's in the box. But I thought to myself, you know what? I think I should have a walking meeting with myself and I will walk to my PO box. One, so that's like get an errand done. Two, that would be walking, which would be exercise. And three, that would give me like undistracted brainstorming time, you know, for some period of time. I don't know how long it took, 30 or 45 minutes. I extended the route a little bit mm-hmm. and it was awesome. So mm-hmm. I think, it, you know, if you just look for little creative ways to insert that into stuff you're already doing, that's a very helpful way to make it happen. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe even once a week, you know, mm-hmm. sort of examine your schedule a little bit. And yeah, that's a great thing. I do my best thinking. My most creative ideas come when I'm walking.
I know. You're not distracted by other stuff. It's really good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have a lot more to discuss, friends, and we will do that after a quick break. Did you know that hyaluronic acid naturally occurs in our skin but decreases gradually as we age, leading to thinner, drier skin? If you're looking for support hydrating your skin from the inside out, check out one of the tools in my hydration arsenal, Rituals Hyacera, which I take every morning. Rituals products are tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals, and Hyacera is clinically proven to reduce fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. They also engage in industry-leading sustainability standards and are a female-founded B Corp, which means they hold themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. Want to join me in hydrating from the inside out? Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/edit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/edit for 25% off. People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT.
Hey, folks, we're back. So we are talking, we're on the second half of our eco-friendly sort of day-to-day habits. And my next tip happens in the kitchen. It's to serve a meatless dinner once a week or more if you like meatless dinners. Mm-hmm. So it was disquieting, shall we say. I read an article not so long ago that pegged much of the deforestation and fires recently in the Amazon rainforest to cattle grazing. And so it's one of those things where, you know, it's not that meat eating is bad necessarily. It's just the scale of meat eating. And so if we reduced our beef and dairy and meat consumption even a little bit, it mm-hmm. would have an impact. So I do not think that everyone has to be vegetarian unless they want to, but we can all just reduce the amount of meat that we eat. So I don't know, Christine, have you ever tried this new generation of veggie burgers that are out there? You know, like Impossible
not,
Burgers or Beyond Burgers.
Okay. I have not, but I'm going to put those on my list next.
Please look for those, because unlike some of the old school veggie burgers, these are, I mean, they are delicious, and I actually like them better than meat burgers. And
wow.
I really like meat.
Yeah. Okay.
No, they're amazing. I love the taste. The texture is amazing. So, you know, it's interesting. There are some new options out there, but honestly, you know, I am a big fan really of, as opposed to replacing the meat with, you know, some sort of meat analog. There's an entire world of vegetable-based recipes that are amazing and delicious. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to link up a couple recipes that I posted on my blog. One, because I'm so excited about these two recipes. This first one is a roasted butternut squash soup, which it's a very simple butternut squash soup, which is not that, it's not like, you know, okay, we've all heard of butternut squash soup, but this one is so delicious and it was just different and I loved it. So I'm going to post that, and super easy, by the way. And for you Instant Pot fans, I'm going to post this trick for cooking rice and dal in the pressure cooker at the same time. Dal Yum. Is like an Indian, like legume based soup, like a lentil type soup. And rice and dal is sort of the Indian version of rice and beans. It's your classic sort of pairing. And there's a way to cook it in the pressure cooker at the same time, like mm-hmm. literally at the same time. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool. So I'll link those up. But meatless dinners, give them a try. It's sort of fun to have something different that you're eating.
I cannot. Yum. That all sounds delicious. Are the burgers that you referenced, the Impossible Burgers and Beyond Burgers, are those freezer items or are those like?
They're refrigerated.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, it's just good to know. And I might just try like buying some and then sticking them in the freezer, because I just love having backup freezer, easy freezer items at hand.
That's what we do. So like in our family, I am not vegetarian. My daughter is not. My husband is. And so, but I really like meat. And I really like fish. And so sometimes, you know, when I'm really in the mood for chicken or whatever, you know, like out come the veggie burgers. So he gets veggie mm-hmm. burgers on the days that we are in the mood for something else.
Nice. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. My next tip is really simple, but, you know, it warrants mention, and it is to bring your own bags everywhere. Mm-hmm. Some cities, especially including around here, are moving towards, you know, you have to pay for a bag if you want one. And we've been bringing bags for years. I think the key is just to get into a system. So we keep a big bag full of bags of recyclable grocery bags, totes, that sort of thing. We keep them in the same spot in our house. We also keep a few, you know, spread out in the car, like in the car, two in the back. And just so they're always there. And I actually also tend to travel, you know, there are all those like totes that are, they just compress really, really small. You can roll them up really tiny. And I usually keep one of those just in whatever pocketbook I'm carrying that day, because then if I'm getting stuff on the go or stopping at the drugstore, I could just carry stuff, you know, in there. So it's such a simple thing, but the bags such last forever. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they really do. And, you know, I still remember, you know, sort of shifting my habits to remembering my grocery bags. And I mean, I have done that. I've also done it for years, but there have been plenty of times when I haven't remembered. And I also use paper grocery bags to collect our recyclables in our house. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting. Portland recently changed our law. And so now we get charged a nickel per paper bag that we use at the store.
Yeah.
And it's this, I just love it, because obviously a nickel isn't going to, you know, put me over the edge of my grocery budget, but it's this tiny reminder to like, oh yeah, remember the bags. Mm-hmm. And it's just also a little reminder that, hey, these resources are valuable. Like these, you know, these, we need to think about it. And so it's really been a nice, it's just been one of those nice things. And so, yes, I'm just thinking about, right, we keep our bag of bags in the car. And then when we go get groceries and, you know, come home with the groceries in the bags and unpack them, I immediately take the bags and put them like right in front of the front door. Mm-hmm. And that way, the next time anybody goes out to the car, they just take them and throw them back in the car. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
it's just getting only, a system. Yeah.
Yeah. System. The only other thing I would say is that, you know, if you do end up getting paper bags, remember that you can also take those back to the grocery store. Like if you don't have any totes sitting around, just take the paper bags back, you know? So pretty much anything goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great reminder. Speaking of shopping, I am going to suggest that sort of an interesting way to think about eco-friendly tips, but that's to shift your buying habits toward local stores. And I want you to sort of think about this in terms of how this reduces the demand for cardboard shipping boxes. You know, when you order something online and it comes in a big box and you have to break it down and there's all sorts of stuff in the box, it reduces the number of delivery vans on the street. And it like reduces the load on the recycling system. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, it supports local economies and jobs. So I'm sort of thinking about it from that supply chain angle, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that if the more we can shift toward buying at a local store, you know, just driving to the store and getting the thing that we want, as opposed to ordering it online and having it delivered to our house, that can have a huge impact.
Yeah. And it's also just like, lovely. Like actually just this week, I wanted to get a birthday present for a friend and I wanted to get some jewelry. And not surprisingly, I was browsing around at J. Crew. And then I was like, wait a second, why don't I just go to the like lovely lady gift store, you know, that's less than a mile from my house. And when I went in to go shopping, I know the owner. This was actually the store Helena's, where they sold Brave New World t-shirts for a while. And I bumped into her and we had a lovely conversation about like, you know, retail and her other store and all this stuff. And it was just like, it just felt so good, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there are human beings behind these businesses and it's just like, it's awesome. So I'm glad you brought that one up. That's really great.
Well, you know, and even especially if you're a person who, you know, for whatever reason, maybe you have little kids or whatever, and you know, you're home, you're not necessarily interacting with people or whatever. Sometimes just getting yourself out and even having that little conversation at the checkout can be a really good, just tiny little grounding. And so, you know, there's going to our, you know, local boutiques and local, you know, individual businesses, independent businesses. But even, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Even if you have to go to like the local Target or whatever, even that is going to help save on shipping boxes and traffic in the neighborhood and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, both of those things are good. Of course, you know, tipping toward those independent businesses whenever you can.
Yeah. And I got a lovely lady gift, I will say. Okay. So moving on before I get too distracted by beautiful, shiny things at the lady store. My next tip is to reduce plastic use. So I've been writing a lot about eco stuff, I guess, but I have a whole blog post about simple ways to reduce plastic. I've been kind of obsessed with this all year. So I'll link that in the notes, but I'll just bring out one quick point from that post, is that I am 172% obsessed right now with beeswax wraps instead of using plastic wrap. So goodbye, plastic roll.
beeswax wraps are amazing.
They are amazing. They're delightful.
I gave those to so many people as gifts, you know, last year. So if you're not familiar with this product, it's basically a piece of cloth that has been coated with beeswax. And so it is moldable. It's like a moldable piece of cloth. And so mm-hmm. you can just put it on top of a bowl and, you know, sort of tamp it down like you would plastic wrap. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, I've just added an Amazon link to the show notes just so that you can see what it is. Mm-hmm. But of course, we encourage you to buy these back, like these wax wraps from a local store, mm-hmm. because they're all over the place now. I see them hanging in grocery stores. I see them in gift shops. I see them all over the place.
And they're like in little, you know, pretty patterns because it's cloth, yeah. you know, so it's just
they're very pretty.
They're so cool. I love them.
Yeah. Pretty and so utilitarian. I just love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, OK, my next step goes back to the transportation issue, and that is to investigate which stops, like public transport stops, are close to your house. Like I'm thinking, you know, take note of the bus stops or if there are tram stops or anything like that. Just note which ones are close to your house, if any, because you might be able to replace a single car drive with a bus ride. And I really want to encourage you to just try it once because, you know, I know when I thought about doing this, I was like, it's going to be so inconvenient, you know, but the fact was that once I knew where the bus stop was, once I knew when the bus was coming and I knew where I needed to go, then it was amazing. I got to have this little basically 5-minute walk, wait for the bus, sit on the bus, just sit like someone else is driving. I don't have to drive. I don't have to park. I just got to go where I was going. And it was really wonderful not to have to think about parking in an urban downtown. So, you know, I live close to an urban downtown. So that was really convenient for me. But it's just worth looking into just to see. You might be surprised by what you find.
Okay. Well, first, I love the idea of just the image in my head of cute little Asha Dornfest sitting on the bus, looking out the window, appreciating the drive-by. Sorry, mm-hmm. I really do. It's so cute. But I have two things to say about public transit. One, as you know, and as some people might know, I'm obsessed with public transit and the fact that
you've been obsessed with three things in this episode, Christine.
I'm obsessed with everything, apparently, but I really this episode is like hitting all of my like things. But okay. I think public transit, if you have access to it, you live somewhere where it exists, it is a crucial life skill to teach your kids. I wrote entire post about public transit life skills that I will also link up. Again, I was not thinking that this episode would be about me linking up to all these things, but I've written a lot about this stuff. So that's the first thing.
This is great.
Public transit, really important. The other thing about public transit I want to point out is that it can serve as self-care. So not just for the reasons you mentioned about not feeling aggravated about driving and parking and all this stuff, but whenever I go commute to my co-working space, I read a paper book. And it is delightful. And I treasure that reading time. I'm usually the only person on public transit reading a paper book, and it is delightful. So mm-hmm. I would just encourage you to embrace that time as a time to just like zone out and enjoy a book. And like, it's self-care too.
Big time. And, you know, the other thing I love about public transit is that it puts you in proximity to people you might not otherwise see. Mm-hmm. You know, it sort of gets you out of your like your day to day, you know, thing where it's like house to car to store to car to house, which is somewhat, you know, sort of just you in your own little world, which is fine. But I sort of relish the fact that a bus is like a collective space. I get to just sort of sit there and, you know, look around and sort of look at all the people. And, you know, sometimes somebody's doing something, like they're listening to something loud and it's annoying. Sometimes somebody's just sitting and reading or whatever, and it feels really companionable. But whatever it is, it just feels like, you know, I'm part of the human race. It feels really good, and it feels collective, and it's important.
It's very people-y.
People-y. Lots of people-y, which, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's like, I just need, you know, I need quiet. And the fact is, public transport can serve that purpose well, just like you pointed out. It's great, opportunity to read.
Yeah. All right. My last tip of the episode is about bulk snacks. So I don't know if you remember, but this summer I did like this massive pantry closet overhaul. It was such a dumpster fire in there. And while I was doing it, part of that system was I was like, wait a second, I just had like a basket lying around. I'm like, this is where I'm going to have the shelf that is at kid height, and all the snacks that the kids will want or need are going to be there. And so at that point, I also decided to like stop buying little snack packs of crackers and whatever, and instead just getting like big boxes. So saving on packaging waste and using reusable snack bags. So that has been awesome. It saves money and also packaging waste. And I will say that granola bars are kind of a little bit of a tougher transition because the individually wrapped bars are very handy. But I've also started making knockoff energy bars. And as a family, we have decided to reserve those individually wrapped bars and for when we're truly on the go, like whether it's, you know, actually skiing. you know, we put a couple of granola bars in our pockets because the kids are always starving at like 10:30. So it's just, again, it's just like a little small change, but it's made a big difference for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things about that, which I would like to point out. First of all, you know, the decision to use wrapped snacks when you're on the go, that's just a perfect example of a way to just partially make a partial change that still has an impact, you know? And I think the other thing to point out is that it's so interesting how so much of this doesn't really affect what we're actually doing. It just affects, it's just a habit change, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think the last thing I would just remind everybody, now that we have given you so many different tips, is that you don't have to do them all, and you don't have to do them all at once. And you can just pick and choose the ones that actually work for you, you know? And so when you find something that really works for you, it just feels really good. So anyway, I kind of would like to, do you have a recipe for these knockoff energy bars?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have, okay. I have a couple. I will, I will dig them up and
are they on your blog?
I'm trying to remember if they are on my blog. I will take a look, but otherwise I can link to external recipes. Christmas, actually, you know, because I've completely changed how I've been eating. For Christmas, I asked for some energy balls off like Purple Carrot or something, and Laurel made them for me, and they were delicious. So I will for sure link that up too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sounds great. This is really, it's really fun to talk about this stuff.
So many good ideas, but we have to wrap up, Asha. So what is your next edit for this episode?
Okay. My next edit is to choose a meatless dish to cook for dinner this week. Mm-hmm. So, or next week. It's just a really great excuse to flip through some of your old cookbooks and just, you know, open your mind to something new.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. And your next edit, I'm sort of giggling, is to try the life-changing magic of baking soda, vinegar, and lemon juice.
Like light rays come down from the clouds.
Lemon juice, lemony angels. Light rays come down from the heavens. It is amazing.
I'm seriously going to look that up. I mean, I know this, but I haven't tried it really. I just want to see all these different things that you've come up with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so many good things. Anyway.
Right. Yes. Well, folks, we really hope that you've found this episode helpful, and you'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to all the resources we've mentioned, plus lots of great related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com.
And as ever, we always love chatting with you online. This week, we'd like to know, what's one change you've made or intend to make to conserve resources? Hop over to facebook.com/edityourlifeshow and look for the question of the week pinned to the top of the page, or you can chat with us on Instagram at @edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking It.